The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 31, Text Number 11, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on November 12th, 2011, in New Delhi, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Natamana Rishi Bhita Saptavradri Krita Anjali Stuvita Tam Viklavaya Vacha Yena Udare Arpita Natamana Rishir Bhita
Natamana Rishir Bhita
Saptavadri Kritanjali Stuvitatam Viklavaya Vachayena Darerpita Natamana Rishir Bhita
Natamana Rishir
Saptavadri Kitanjali Stuvitatam Viklavaya Vachayena Darerpita. Natamana, appealing. Rishi, the living entity. Bhita, frightened. Saptavadri, bound by these seven layers. Krita Anjali, with folded hands. Stuvita, praise. Tam, to the Lord. Viklavaya, faltering. Vacha, with words. Yena, by whom. Udare, in the womb. Arpita, he was placed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The living entity in this frightful condition of life, bound by seven layers of material ingredients, prays with folded hands, appealing to the Lord who has put him into that condition. Purport. It is said that when a woman is having labor pains, she promises that she will never again become pregnant and suffer from such a severely painful condition. Similarly, when one is undergoing some surgical operation, he promises he will never again act in such a way as become diseased and have to undergo medical surgery. Or when one falls into danger, he promises that he will never again make the same mistake. Similarly, the living entity, when put into a hellish condition of life, prays to the Lord that he will never again commit sinful activities and have to be put into the womb for repeated birth and death. In the hellish condition, within the womb, the living entity is very much afraid of being born again. When he is out of the womb, he is again in full life and good health. He forgets everything and commits again and again the same sins for which he was put into that horrible condition of existence. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri
Vijata Badakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Sajiva Sadvaita Zabaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, this is the amazing nature of this material world. Maya is so powerful, so expert at deluding us, that even though we know we're making a mistake, and even though we pledge we will never make that mistake again, still in being induced by the all-powerful material nature, we fall into that mistake again and again and again. It's amazing. People know it's wrong to do something. They know they want to stop doing it, but being impelled by the three modes of material nature, they continue to do that thing again and again and again, even though they know it's wrong. I remember I was with Prabhupada back in 1972 at New Vrindavan. And one hippie asked Prabhupada in the question and answer session of the lecture, he said, if our purpose is to go back to Gaudiya, then why is Maya so strong? We were all waiting to see how Prabhupada would answer that question. Of course, he answered it immediately. He said, because your purpose is not strong. In other words, purpose means determination. How purposeful you are, that is your determination. So someone who makes mistake and says, I will never make mistake again, and again they make mistake, it simply means they are not purposeful enough. They are not determined enough. So how does one get the power of determination? Is it? Prabhupada has given a very nice example. I mentioned last night a little sparrow. She's our acharya of determination. She's our guru of determination, a little sparrow. One day the ocean, being mean and nasty, decided to steal the sparrow's eggs. Ha ha ha. Wanting to torment the little innocent bird. So the sparrow demanded the eggs back, and the ocean would not give. So she was determined, I will dry up this ocean. So she would take some drops of water in a little beak, and she would run back to the dry land. She would deposit the water, go back and get a few more drops. In this way, she was determined to dry up the ocean. Everybody was laughing. Look at that stupid little bird. She's going to run herself to death. She's not going to dry up the ocean. But she was determined. No, I must dry up this ocean. But then her big brother, who was her big brother, Garuda, the king of the birds, when he heard how they were tormenting his little sister, he became very, very angry. And he came flying in. She zoomed in. With great anger. And he told that ocean, you better return those eggs right now, or I'm going to dry you up. And the ocean knew, this is it. I better give those eggs back now. I'm finished. So, what is the moral of the story? God helps those who help themselves, Prabhupada said. So if you are, even though we are very weak, what is our position compared to the almighty material energy? We are very weak. But daivi yesha gunamayi mama maya daratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayame tam taranti te. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is very, very, very difficult to overcome. But for those who have surrendered unto me, they can easily cross beyond it. So we have to remember this material energy is so heavy, it's so powerful. I'm just a little tiny sparrow, and there's a big ocean. What can I do against this material energy? But if you are very, very determined that I must conquer over this material energy, I will no longer be a slave of this material energy. I refuse to be a slave of Maya any longer. I have been a slave for 8,400,000 lifetimes again and again and again and again. I've been a slave of Maya and I'm sick of it. I'm finished. I don't want it anymore. I've been serving my senses for millions and millions of lifetimes, and where has it gotten me? Another damn rotting body. That's all. You see? If one is very determined in this way, then Krishna will help. He will send you a bona fide spiritual master who will then assist Krishna in delivering you back to home, back to God. Just as Garuda came, the spiritual master also will come. And he will save you, bringing the potency of Krishna, Krishna Shakti Vini Nahitara Pravartana. Spiritual master, he has the Shakti of Krishna. He has the energy of Krishna to deliver us. Prabhupada showed this, Krishna Shakti. He was empowered by Krishna. This is why the spiritual master is sometimes called a Vaishya incarnation, Prabhupada explains. Because he has empowerment, he has power of attorney to act on behalf of Krishna for delivering the fallen souls back to home, back to Godhead. It's just amazing what Prabhupada did, actually. That little tiny storefront, even to get the storefront was a miracle. Even to get to America was a miracle. Prabhupada took it as a great miracle that he was able to even get out of India. That was a big, big miracle for Prabhupada. Krishna's special mercy that he was able to leave in India. They didn't want to grant the pea for him that he could leave India. They didn't want it. Sumati Maharaji did not want to give him the passage on the Jaladuta. Prabhupada faced so many obstacles, one after another after another. But in each and every situation, Krishna came in and took care of, very good care of Prabhupada. So don't become discouraged by obstacles. Obstacles are a special blessing to help us become more Krishna conscious. That's all. If Krishna bhakti was an easy thing, of course it is easy. Actually, it is an easy thing. But because we are still within the grips of the material energy. We are seeing so many difficulties. Actually, there are no difficulties, but we take them as difficulties. Actually, Krishna, the loving hand of Krishna, is acting at every minute in every devotee's life, in every devotee's life. Krishna's loving hand is acting in every minute. But because we're not aware of that, we're thinking obstacle, 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 obstacle. So when you take it as obstacle or impediment, then you have to, that means you have to become humble. My dear Lord, please save me from this obstacle. Please help me overcome this difficulty in serving you. But for those who are on the highest level of perfection, there's no such thing as obstacle. Obstacle simply means blessing. Vipada shamdutashtashvat tatra tatra jagangaro bhavanam darshanam yatshad apunarbhava darshanam. Queen Kunti is praying like this. She says, my dear Lord, please give me more and more of these obstacles. I love them. Because whenever I face a difficulty, an obstacle, I can do nothing but think of you. And when I'm thinking of you, I know that I'm free from birth and death. So please, my dear Krishna, give me more obstacles, more difficulties, more calamities. Please heap them on me constantly. This was her prayer, you see. She is definitely our guru in Kunti Devi, teaching us how to relish obstacles and calamities as the special blessings of Krishna. So we can remember these great acharyas who have made this, who have blazed the trail through the wilderness of Kali. Mahajana Yena Gatasta Panta. These great acharyas, they have blazed a superhighway, a bhakti superhighway, through the wilderness. They made it so easy for us, this bhakti superhighway. We get on that superhighway, the golden path of unlimited devotion, you see, the golden highway of unlimited bhakti. The great acharyas have made it very easy. Just see how the Goswamis have blazed the trail by giving so many wonderful works and to help us understand exactly how to practice Krishna consciousness. The Vedas are a huge compendium of so many different types of knowledge, you see. But they have extracted the finest essence of the Vedas. Under the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have extracted the finest essence of the Vedas, which is bhakti. The perfection of Vedic wisdom, Vedaishta Charavaryaham Eva Vedyo, Vedantakrit Vedavid Eva Chaham. By all the Vedas I'm to be known. That means all that Krishna is saying that in 15:15 Bhagavad Gita. So all the Vedic wisdom is meant for knowing Krishna ultimately. If you take Vedic wisdom for some other purpose than realizing Krishna, then you've gotten sidetracked. You've gotten blocked somewhere along the pathway. Because Vedic wisdom means to understand Krishna. That is the words of Krishna himself. Vedaishta charavaryaham eva vedyo vedantakrit vedavid eva chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. So by following the footsteps of the great acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, coming down to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. By following in the footsteps of these great saintly teachers, we will be solidly situated on that pathway back to the original home from which we have all come. We are not residents of this material world. We are residents of the spiritual world. That is our actual home. But somehow or other we got sidetracked by coming in contact with the material mode of passion, karma esha krodha esha rajaguna samudbhavaha mahashano mahapapma vidyanam mehavairinam. It is lust only, Arjuna, born of contact with the material mode of passion and later turn into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So that, what is the original quality? What is the original consciousness of a living being? Prema. But just like milk in contact with sour tamarind is transformed into dahi, that prema in contact with rajaguna becomes kama. And when you don't get your kama satisfied, what does it become? Krodha. You didn't give me what I want? You see? So you want to get back to prema, all you have to do is reverse engineer your consciousness. You've heard of reverse engineering? Yeah. This is the original reverse engineering. It's called Krishna consciousness. You just have to go back. You see, take whatever tendencies you have within the modes of nature. Your tamasic tendencies, your rajasic tendencies, your sattvic tendencies. Take all tendencies that you have according to your modes of nature and offer them to Krishna. Engage them in Krishna's service. If you have a passionate nature, be passionate about making the whole world Krishna conscious. Your tamasic nature, well, we take rest every night, so use your tamasic nature to take rest every night. Not too much. And sattvic nature, to know truth, to be pious. You see, use these tendencies for Krishna. Don't use them for any other purpose. And if you do so, that krodha, that kama, that will again become prema. You see, the prema is already there. Now, in the material world, you cannot take dahi and turn it back into milk. But in this, you can. That kama can be turned back into prema by associating with Krishna and those things related with Krishna. Sangat sanjayate kama. One's consciousness is developed according to his sangha, his association. So if you associate with Krishna, you become Krishnaized. And Krishna is so kindly manifesting so many ways in the form of his name, in the form of the deities, in the form of prasad, in the form of the spiritual master, in the form of the Vaishnavas. Krishna is appearing in the form of the holy Dham, the scriptures. In so many ways Krishna is manifesting. And even you can see how he's manifested in the material world. The first time I came into the presence of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, actually, the second time. The first time was at the airport. And we greeted him at the San Francisco airport back in 1971. Yes. And then a few minutes later, maybe a half hour later, at the Ratha Yatra site, Prabhupada gave a very wonderful lecture sitting on Subhadra Devi's cart. I never forget the first word I had heard, the first word I heard come out of Prabhupada's mouth was, Jagannath. He said, Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Pathagami, Bhavatume. That's how he began his lecture. It was so sweet. Oh, finally I'm seeing Prabhupada feasting my eyes on the Jagadguru, the great Acharya who is saving the whole world. I got to feast my eyes on his Vigraha, and my ears on his Shabda Brahma. I remember he said, every one of you are drinking water once, twice, thrice, more than that every day. So every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately become Krishna conscious. To become Krishna consciousness is not difficult. It simply requires practice. Prabhupada made it, actually it is easy, you see. We think it's difficult, but that's simply our minds getting in the way. Actually, become Krishna conscious is the easiest thing. If you try to develop a kama bhakti without any material desire, you sincerely try to cultivate a kama bhakti, it's not difficult. The difficulty is when we try to do a balancing act, sakama bhakti. You see, we try to maintain our material desires and cultivate Krishna consciousness at the same time. That is a very difficult balancing act. Instead of saying, Krishna, how can I serve you? We're saying, Krishna, I want this. Krishna, I want that. You see? Don't try to be a sakama bhakta. Be an akama bhakta. You see, it's not difficult. Always think of Krishna with everything. The drinking the water, the light of the sun and the moon, the sound in the ether, the ability in man. Try to always connect everything with Krishna. Try to always think of Krishna at every minute. Yamam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati. From one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 30. So if we try to be Krishna conscious at every minute, just make the endeavor to always remember Krishna at every minute. As soon as you wake up in the morning, Krishna, you see. Immediately put Krishna in your consciousness, you see. Always at every minute, whatever you do, try to remember Krishna. See? Then it's very easy to be Krishna conscious. The only difficulty is when we forget Krishna. So don't ever forget him. Mold your life in such a way that you can be Krishna conscious 24 hours a day, whether you're a student, whether you're an actor, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a brahmachari, a sannyasi, whatever you are. Mold your life in such a way that you can always remember Krishna at every minute. That's the perfection. That's the greatest success. Better than being a Stephen Jobs or a Bill Gates or anything like that, or a Brahmaji. You see? Mold your life in such a way that you can remember Krishna at every second, 24 hours a day. And I guarantee you, if you do so, you're going to be blissed out. Bliss and heavy. You'll be really blissful. Brahma Bhutta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakangshati Samaksaveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Padam. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes absolutely ecstatic. He doesn't hanker for anything. He doesn't lament about not having anything. He's equally disposed to every single living entity throughout the entire universe. And in such a state of consciousness, madbhaktim labhate param. In such a state of consciousness, he enters into pure bhakti, the ultimate goal of human existence. So take this pathway. Take it with great enthusiasm, with determination, with patience. Take this pathway. And you won't have to see the cycle of birth and death anymore. You won't have to come back in another womb. You can enter into Golok. Wake up on the bank of the Jamuna. In Goloka Vrindavan. How would you like to wake up on the Jamuna bank? A clean Jamuna. Pristine, clear Jamuna. With lotus flowers and swans. And there's Krishna and Radharani. And the cowherd boys. Someone slips you a glob jamun. I always like to wake up in that place, you see, where the gopis are singing beautiful, the sweetest music you ever heard in your whole life. Oh, I've never heard such beautiful music. The gopis are singing songs, and Krishna's smiling and playing his flute. Just imagine to wake up in such a place. Well, you can do that. Just have to qualify yourself by being Krishna conscious. That's all you have to do. Instead of waking up in a rotten place, where, you know, hell's breaking loose at every minute in this material world. But the beauty of Krishna consciousness process is that even within this material world, if you are Krishna conscious, you will not be in this material world. Why are the Paramahamsas called Paramahamsas? Do you know why? The swan has a very interesting beak. The swan can take a mixture of milk and water, and he can suck the milk and leave the water behind. You know that? You can extract the milk and leave the water behind. So the Paramahamsa, he can be within this material world and simply extract Krishna from this material world, not take any of the poison of material existence. In other words, he can find Krishna within everything in this material world. He experiences Krishna everywhere. Therefore, it is said the pure devotee, the Paramahamsa, he is living in Vrindavan at every minute. Prabhupada explains. The pure devotee is always living in Vrindavan. He doesn't need to go to Vrindavan on pilgrimage. He's always in Vrindavan. But they go to Vrindavan to purify it from all the sins deposited by the ordinary Kanishkas that go there for pilgrimage, you see. So this process is very sublime. If you work this process, it will work. People will say, well, I tried it, it didn't work. It means they didn't practice it properly. Someone says, you know, I tried to make some banana bread, but I only got some goo in the bottom of the pan. Well, my dear sir, you left out the baking powder. What do you expect? If you follow the recipe for making banana bread, you will get banana bread, very nice banana bread, you can offer to Krishna. If you concoct your own version, you'll be a blooped banana bread. So don't you be a blooped devotee. Follow the process exactly as Prabhupada is giving it in his books. We see sometimes devotees try to add some new idea, like, well, you know, this sadhana bhakti is an impediment for pure love of God. You know, they introduce some crazy philosophies, or, you know, book distribution is not the most important thing. Some devotees sometimes introduce crazy ideas that are not coming from Prabhupada, you see. We have to stick to what Prabhupada has given us in these books. Because if we follow what Prabhupada has given us, that day will come and we will see Krishna face to face. Even in this very world, Prabhupada ordered me, he said, now you become qualified to see Krishna face to face. I was previously a songwriter before I joined the movement. And Prabhupada has given me some tips on how to write songs like Narottam Das and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, that's a pretty high goal. But he said, now you simply have to qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So I'm still praying for that day when I can do that. But Prabhupada is advising me how I could write songs on like Narottam and Bhaktivinoda by being qualified to see Krishna face to face. Of course, I am seeing him right now in the deity form. In that sense, we are seeing Krishna. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
Can you hear me?
Reverse engineering, yeah. He was saying that Lord Krishna was put as in the womb. he alone can take it back, take us back to him, and that's reverse engineering.
Yeah, going back to where you came from, you see, reversing the process, that's reverse engineering. Just as Prabhupada explains it in the purport of that verse, chapter 3, text 30, I think it is, or 27, 327. How one can reverse the process. Yeah, it's described by Prabhupada in detail. You can read that purport, it's very, very nice purport. You can reverse that by using that karma in Krishna's service, you see, or that krodha. You can use these for Krishna. In this way, you reverse the process and you go back to prema. Very nice purport by Prabhupada. Any other questions?
Guru Maharaj, how can I love every devotee? How can I develop the attitude of love to every devotee?
For the devotees? How can I love the devotees? Actually, you already love the devotees. We all have pure love of Krishna within our hearts and pure love for all living entities. That pure love is already there. So if you engage in the process known as sadhana bhakti, following the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness, chanting at least 16 rounds daily without fail, avoiding illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. In this way, the natural propensity you have to love Krishna and Krishna's devotees will become fully re-manifested. And if you will serve the devotees, engage in the loving exchanges given by Rupa Goswami. Reveal your mind to devotees, open your heart when they reveal their minds to you. Give them gifts, as a physical gift, or giving them service, accepting service and gifts from them, serving prasad to the devotees, accepting prasad from the devotees. By these loving exchanges, that love will become reawakened. You already have it, it's just sleeping now, that's all. So they become reawakened. Do it, serving together with the devotees, you see. Doing things together, going on parikrama, going out on preaching programs, doing deity worship, doing things together. We naturally develop loving relationships by doing things together for Prabhupada's service, you see. So the more we can associate in a nice way doing Krishna conscious activities, then natural love will come. Any other questions?
Asking for calamities from Krishna, and we generally pray to Krishna when there is an obstacle. So by praying to Krishna to remove the obstacle, we are asking Krishna to do some service to us. So he's asking whether these two statements are not contradictory.
So is it contradictory? Our agenda given to us by Prabhupada is to do whatever is favorable for our Krishna consciousness and reject whatever is unfavorable. That is the ultimate guiding principle, what's right and what's wrong, what to do and what not to do. If you have a duty and there's an obstacle, and that duty has to be accomplished, then you shouldn't just say, "Oh Krishna, thank you for giving me the obstacle," and not do your duty, you see. Let's say you have some service to do, but then you have to do some puja, and you go to the puja room, but the door is locked, and the key was lost. You say, "Well, thank you, Krishna, for giving me this calamity, and I don't have to do the puja." No, not like that. You have to see whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness. If there's an obstacle that you are meant to overcome, then you should definitely, you know, if you do your service, you must overcome. But some obstacles, some things you can't do, like death, for example. When death comes, what you can do? When disease comes, what you can do? You try your best. If you're very sick, you take all medical treatment, all advice, all help. But if that nothing works and you're stuck with the disease, what are you going to do? Say, Krishna, please cure me, please cure me, please cure me. Doesn't make any sense. You've tried your best. Then you say, but Krishna, thank you for giving me this disease to help me become more feeling dependent on you. Tatenu kampam su samikshavano punjana evatma katambakafam tadvagvohor vivatam namaste jiveta yomukti sadayat sadayabhat. 10th canto of Bhagavatam. The devotee, he prays that my dear Lord, see, how does the verse go? Those devotees who are always praying, always offering you, my dear Lord, those devotees who were always offering respectful obeisances unto you from when the innermost cores of their hearts while they're undergoing all varieties of difficulties and calamities. In an attitude of appreciation for your mercy, they're always offering you respectful obeisances, even in all difficulties. Simply seeing these difficulties as a reaction for their past sins. They are eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So if you have a duty to do and there's an impediment, you should definitely try to overcome it. But you should try to do it. If you lost the key, then you should go find the key, not say, Krishna, can you please bring me the key? No, you do the endeavor. Don't ask Krishna to solve your problem for you. You make the endeavor. You see. Krishna, please let me be fully absorbed in serving you. That's the move. We don't ask Krishna to serve us. I know I had the same question you do, because we do read how the cowherd boys were praying when they were being devoured by a forest fire in Vrindavan. They were begging Krishna to save them. There is such a thing. Instead of saying, Krishna, thank you for giving this forest fire, they're saying, Krishna, help. So that's there. That is also there. We were studying that purport one day in Eastern Europe about the Sakama devotees. They ask Krishna to serve them. And the Akama, they ask Krishna, how can I serve you? So what is the proper understanding? The proper understanding is to do whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject whatever is unfavorable. If there's some difficulty, you should call to Krishna. If you're in a traffic accident in the, Kawam, you should definitely be calling out to Krishna, Krishna! Because you want to remember Krishna at every minute. Actually, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, we're praying Krishna to save us. We're begging Him to save us from our fallen condition, this material existence. So that we are asking for, but not Krishna, give me this, give me that. Like that song, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Not like that, you see. We're not begging Krishna to take care of our material desires. If you're begging Krishna to help you to be Krishna conscious, that's very good. That we must beg. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And please bless me, I can be your instrument for pushing forward this movement. You see? These kind of prayers, you're very good, begging Krishna's help. But for material sense gratification, no. Don't beg for material sense gratification. Okay, our time is up. Thank you all very much for your participation in Prabhupada's movement. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, ISKCON ki jai.
Shri Gauri Sankarsana Prabhu ki jai.